Welcome to the Tech Savvy Professor Podcast. Two faculty who love tech and love making it part of their work. It's been a while since we've got, we're trying to do this weekly, but it's been a while since we got a show out, Eric. And listeners might be able to tell by the sound of my voice that I've got a bad cold, but let's get this show out. I was out in Portland at a conference, and I wore my Apple Vision Pro on the plane, and I thought maybe I should put a mask on. But I imagined myself with the headset and the mask on, and I thought people will think I'm a hostage with that kind of coverage. So I didn't wear a mask, and I'm sure I sucked in some cold virus that was in that flying tube for 3 hours. I'm looking forward to get rid of this. You have been busy too in the last couple of weeks.
Oh yeah, a lot of running. Mostly kid stuff though, dance competitions and basketball games and the whole thing. Everything's starting to wind down a little bit, but baseball season is coming. So there'll be like 3 weeks of intermission before I'm running the truck all over town again. But it's all been good. Busy.
I mean, I like to say I remember those days fondly, but I remember those days that now that I'm past those days with my kids as being fondly back then. So I had to alter my memory in the retrospective to have a good feel about it. Because in the moment, you feel like you're going everywhere all the time.
A great reframe in there somewhere.
Yeah, I know. So we are going to talk about AI and student use in this episode. So why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, we talked a little bit last week about AI, just defining it, what it does, walking through, how AI is impacting higher education in particular. And I think there's really two sides of this that we decided to talk about. And one was the student end of things. The other was the faculty end of things and how this is viewed. And I haven't been a student for quite some time. So I think the easiest way to take a look at what's happening right now is to take a look at the research and things that are being published out there about AI usage. Colleges did a survey that I thought was pretty interesting that said 56% of college students currently admit to using AI on assignments. And 54% of them admitted that that feels like cheating or plagiarism, which I thought was interesting. The other part of this is looking at just the amount of information and data that's out there right now around this idea of AI detection methods and plagiarism. And I don't know that how aware students are of it. But all of these different content checkers, your Turnitin and other ones that are looking at specifically what is determined whether or not AI was used, is becoming this kind of new market of its own. So from a student perspective, I think AI offers a lot in terms of just research and crafting and creating content. And I think so many tools that, again, we look at that involve AI that are not ChatGPT related, but have some AI element to it. A lot of these, that, like Grammarly, your different Microsoft tools that integrate AI, we get a little pop-up on here on Zoom every once in a while that reminds us there's an AI companion that you can use as a part of Zoom. So ChatGPT is certainly part of it, that content generation piece. There's a lot of ways that AI is already integrated into kind of the student experience. As they're crafting and creating things in Word or in Pages, those mechanical AI, so to speak, have these kind of simplistic algorithms that they use to help you with writing or grammar or those types of things. I think what we're looking at, though, is this concern from a faculty perspective, and then also from a student perspective, that AI is being used more and more to generate content for assignments, in which our hope is to assess and evaluate students and work. That's kind of the topic for debate, I think, around student use. There's lots of resources out there beyond ChatGPT, and I want to talk about some of those a little bit later. But I'm curious your thoughts too, Marty. Like, what do you see as being helpful for students, and how do they navigate that, being that the policies are so all over the place in academia right now?
Yeah, this all started with a faculty discussion because I had been playing around with large language learning models, ChatGPT in particular, and a student came to our program, somebody in our program, and said, hey, I'd like to develop an outline for my dissertation using ChatGPT, or I'd like to use ChatGPT to help develop an outline for my dissertation. Is that okay? And so kudos to the student for asking that, but it kicked off a large faculty discussion. You know, going to conferences, people and institutions are settling on different points of the spectrum in terms of how they're going to manage student use of ChatGPT and other AI products. I kind of lean into it. I kind of think this is the tools that they'll be using in the future. So maybe we should best equipped on how to teach with those tools and teach about those tools, their limitations, teach them how to use them to eliminate error. So I think you just need to hug the monster. If you see it as a monster out there, just give it a big hug, because there's no stopping it. Kent State has, I went to check this before we did this podcast, because I've heard we've been all in an uproar at our university about the policies related to AI. And frankly, when I went to look what they've published, and I'll give you the link for that, it's pretty impressive. They really, in true Kent State tradition, they've given use a broad spectrum. And so they've come up with basically three major areas. And these are areas that with syllabus language that you can put in to describe. So the three major areas are using AI freely, AI use is permitted but limited, and then do not use. Use of AI is prohibited. And like under AI, using AI freely, they have a language for free use. You don't have to document it. Whatever elements you create using it, that's cool. They also have language for using it freely, using it with caution, and also acknowledging the use of it. And then a third area in that same section of using AI freely is use it with caution, acknowledge it, and then explain, give a summary of its use. So again, I'll give you the link in a minute for this, but you can go to the site and you can see options for that. AI use that's permitted but limited. There are sections on suspected inappropriate use clauses. There's also use with limitations, citations, not for exams, in only 25% of the assignment as an option. Use but include information on how you used AI. Use and be very specific about your use in terms of what students can use it for. And then use is expected, encouraged, with detailed cautions and suggestions as part of it. And then the third major section, do not use, use is prohibited, is pretty clear in terms of it's just a statement saying you just can't do it. So faculty are encouraged to kind of think of your students and make sure that this message gets out clearly to the students. Putting it on your syllabi, reviewing it when you're doing it, gives students kind of the realm in which they can engage in using AI and how it fits from your instructional standpoint. If you want to look at that link, you go to bit.ly/KSU-AI. All of that is in capital, KSU-AI. It's a bit.ly link, and that will take you to the long extended page. There's also quite a neat resource, and I know we're talking about students here, we're talking about student use, but you, as a faculty member, you're responsible for giving them the boundaries and the constraints. There is a person by the name of Lance Eaton who created a remarkable, it's a crowdsourced sort of resource that you can go to with many, many examples of how to include it in syllabi for specific programs, specific, areas of study. It is, again, bit.ly, a bit.ly link, and it's AI dash with a capital S, and then the rest smaller case, syllabi. So AI capital dash capital S syllabi. And that's done by Lance. He put it together, Lance Eaton, and there are probably over 50 examples of it at that site that you can look at for syllabus inclusion. But it's really all about getting students in tune with what your expectations are. And that's, we'll talk about how faculty are using it, but I think this part about putting it in syllabi and being clear about it is important.
And I think that's an important point for students too, is to recognize that each course could be different. Institution has a different policy, and no one is taking this same. This site's a really good example to see some of those policies that are out there. And then just scrolling through, seeing that there's courses that need to use AI, right? This is a new tool that you need to understand and know that you get out of it what you put into it. So the more specific your prompts are, the better your content come out, not to trust anything that it gives you just at face value. There are places where you need to be careful as a student, even if you're permitted to use it, that it's done in a way that's helpful and not just leaning into this for content generation. I should say that's really where the argument comes down to, is this idea that I can pull this generated content from this AI resource and not need to cite it because it generates the content for you. I think some other institutions are taking this as clearly not attributed, and worried about students putting this into papers and into assignments without attributing their use of it. One thing to be knowledgeable about too as a student is a lot of these plagiarism checkers at this point are putting out false positives. You start to look at some of the stories and articles around the plagiarism checkers who are including an AI feature, and even the documentation you get from larger entities like Turnitin, they're having a hard time with this false positive issue. And has a really hard time picking these things up. So it tends to overreport. So if you're having trouble with this and you haven't used AI, you need to be upfront about that too and be willing to engage in those conversations, because faculty are seeing those lights go off with those positive results. And it may be something that you need to have a conversation with your faculty about. I was thinking about earlier, just back in my master's program, the put everything away kind of test. And I had this test in diagnosis and assessment, which was, essentially you need to remember specific diagnoses and the symptoms that go along with those and, duration, history, all that. And I'm thinking, I have the DSM right under my, when am I not going to have the DSM with me that I need to have this memorized? And how is this? I'm just recalling information. Sometimes that's important. That content recall is important. I'm going to need to apply that in session and look for symptomology without having the DSM open and on my lap while I'm speaking with a client. So that part is important, right? So that's a little bit different. I think the ways in which we see assessment going are slow, right? That process is slow to adapt to how AI works now. So look at how those assignments function and operate. Communicate with your faculty about, you know, what is expected of me, what can I use or can't I use? And, you know, attribute, right? What you're using and how you're using it in terms of resources. I think that's the best way to ensure that you're safe as a student, and that you can leverage things like AI when you're permitted to. I was looking up just some of these different policies. Really cool to have, not all, but a sample of them here, because they do vary so widely by institution and by course. So it's really something good for students to be aware of.
Yeah, and I've seen a three strikes policy. I've heard faculty talk about that, where students are going to use it. It's a learning moment for them, and how they manage it in terms of teaching students how to properly use it or how to properly cite it and what the expectations are around the use, you know, can shift the way in which the student uses the tool. There's a more proactive approach that I think takes responsibility of faculty to know what they want and be able to explain what they want and what they don't want to see students use it for in terms of content generation. Or, you know, is content generation different than acting as a aid to make your better clarity in your writing? You know, those to me feel like two different kinds of violations. And so being really clear about what your expectations are around the use. Unfortunately, I think probably a third of the faculty are just sticking their heads in the sand and pretending it it isn't a problem and it's not something they need to discuss in class.
Yeah. And I think that's fortunately how things go. I think with technological advancement, you know, you have your early adopters, you have somewhere in between, and then you have those that are just not willing to acknowledge that it's a facet of what you have to deal with at this point. I think there's this, for some reason, this you called it a monster, but the term villain, right? This terrible evil thing, when it really does have the ability to make things better, to, like you said, to support the writing process, to support your ability as a student to generate content. I think how you use that tool is more important than whether you use it or not. Again, leaning into those policies within your syllabus and your institution.
Well, that's all I've got on it today. Do you have anything else, Eric?
No, I'm excited to talk about the faculty part next time, though, because I think that's the conversation.
Yeah, we will learn all the dirty little secrets about how faculty are using it, but not letting their students use it. There are some very cool things that I've used it for that are helpful. And students have called me out when they're in class. They'll go, "Now, did you really write these or did you use AI?" And I've been transparent with them. I say, yeah, in this case, I used AI, but I looked at it, made some changes because there were things I didn't want in there for you. And but students are wise. They're wise on it. So be aware of that as a faculty member. And, you know, you have a responsibility yourself to learn about this tool. Don't leave it to necessarily plagiarism checkers to solve the problem for you, because they haven't been very reliable. And it's caused a lot of, as Eric said, false positives and greater problems for the student, because then you're accusing them of something that they really didn't do. So next time, faculty, we'll talk about that. How can listeners get involved? Got a tech question, trying to figure out how to do something with technology, or you have an idea to share? Email us at thepodtalknetwork@gmail.com or call and leave a message at 330-333-1240. And we will play your question in the podcast and try to get an answer for you. Our bumper music is from Philip Gross. Rast from the Free Music Archive. That's it for today's show. Thanks for subscribing to the Tech Savvy Professor podcast. Everything you need to know is at techsavvyprofessor.net. You can find us by searching Apple Podcasts, for the Tech Savvy Professor. Look for us on Spotify, TuneIn, Google Play Music. Look for our other shows like Circular Firing Squad on thepodtalk.net. Thanks for listening to the Tech Savvy Professor.